The Gemara introduces
an Ardaf and continues talking about this intermittently for a little while, about the concept of Mayim Achronim, and contrasts it with Mayim Rishonim. And it's an idea which appears a number of times in Shas. Hopefully you've seen a couple of the references to other Masechtas where it comes up also. And it's actually Daf Yomi today, right? So I timed it perfectly. It was all year scheduled to make sure that today we would get to the Daf Yomi. I don't know how much work that took, and here we are. So that very elaborate setup. So in today's Daf Yomi and in today's Daf here, so we have the references, two of the references to Mayim Achronim. So the question is how to relate to it as a concept. On our Gemara it says Mayim Rishonim Mitzvah V'Achronim Chovah. So what's the difference between a mitzvah and a chovah in our sugya? In conversation,
maybe credit you might get.
Okay, what do you mean by
the sugya?
Would you say it's not the sugya? Is that what you said?
Maybe the credit part. Maybe not. We didn't really talk so much about that. I mean, the makoros.
Okay.
Least, well, there was a
possibility. But it's significant also if you want to answer just how you would have thought separate from what you saw in the Torah. So
yeah. Tell
me about that also. So what would you have thought of mitzvah and chovah means in relation to each other?
Mitzvah would mean that you were commanded to do this and you will, I guess, you know, get, like, fulfill some sort of an, I guess, God-given obligation for doing it. Whereas a chovah, you have to do it for reasons, well, be like spiritual or physical.
So. Okay, so let me ask you something then. So that's a pretty mistaber distinction. So is that actually so different from what the Makoros actually supports? So that may actually work pretty well, theoretically. So essentially, tell me if this is what I'm hearing from you, that they both refer to something that needs to be done. But a mitzvah is something that needs to be done for essentially commandment reasons, and therefore we associate with the spiritual value primarily. And a chovah, something still needs to be done, but it's not necessarily done for commandment-based reasons. So that's not necessarily inconsistent with what we see here. Right? The question is that the whole story for Mayim Achronim? So as far as our daf in Chulin could be, as far as our daf in Daf Yomi, for those holding in Daf Yomi, so what does the Gemara sound like over there? So it's a drasha on the Pasuk in Parshas Shmini. The language of the Pasuk of V'hiskadashtem V'yisem Kedoshim. So it says the Gemara of V'hiskadashtem, that's a reference to Mayim Rishonim, V'yisem Kedoshim, that's a reference to Mayim Achronim. And there the Gemara talks about the possibility of Yadayim Zuamos. Right, that your hands may be greasy, and that's a lack of Kedusha for the Bracha. So how do you relate to that? Is that a drasha d'oraisa? First of all, it's hard to say it's going to be a drasha d'oraisa, right? Because no one's going to say that either one of these is a mitzvah min haTorah, netiyah sidayim rishonim or achronim. It's hard to say that that's going to be a d'oraisa in either case. At least for bread, the way we do it nowadays. But still, if it's, let's say, it's a din d'rabbanan, and it's an asmachta, right, Tosfos for sure understands it's an asmachta. So Tosfos, which is going to be significant for other reasons, but to see the first lines in Tosfos right now, Tosfos in Ardaf, Kufei Maralev, using our daf to refer to both, but still. Brachos besof perk elu dvarim har daf yomi darish chavayu mikra viskadashta elu mayim rishonim visam kedoshim elu mayim achronim vasmachta ba'almahu. So there's more to the sentence why it's asmachta, but we're just going to cut it off there for a second. So Tosfos tells us this is not the real daraisa intention of the pasuk. Now, just parenthetically for a second, not inserting this into this Tosfos, but just to continue our overall attention to issues of dinim derabbanan. So this is a good opportunity to mention this. What's the meaning? What does an asmachta mean? So it is a big machlokas, tell the truth. We nowadays translate it usually pretty simply to mean that it's a memory hint, that it's not really the meaning of the pasuk at all, but it is something that Chazal attached to a pasuk. Everyone knows the Torah Shebichsav, and the Torah Shebaalpeh has to be memorized, so we associate the Torah Shebaalpeh with the Torah Shebichsav in order to help us remember it.
Is that different from calling it a reference?
Well, it's a reference that's not meaning... It depends what you mean by reference. You mean that the Torah is actually referring to this din? So that is different then.
A little more, it's a reference attached to a pasuk by Chazal.
So Chazal referring to the pasuk. Which reference in which direction? Chazal referred to the pasuk to help us remember the din. No, it could mean. It depends what you mean. So if you mean that Chazal referred to the pasuk, that would be consistent with that. Now, not everyone saw it like that. So yes, you wanted to comment?
So are we saying it's on like the same level as like when like the Gemara has like those like mnemonic devices before a sugya or things like that? It's just like a memory tool?
That's how some Rishonim understand. And that's how we often refer to it. Others were highly opposed to that. The Ritva, for example, in his comments in Rosh Hashanah, the Ritva was very upset at saying it like that, and the Ritva actually called that minus. He said that, no offense to the Rambam and everyone else who saw it like that, but the Ritva said that no, there is a intent of the Torah to refer to this also. And yeah, Maury.
It's a pasuk that refers to, it's a pasuk that's not a din, it's not a makor for a din, but it's a reference to another pasuk which is a makor for a din.
Well, no, if we're talking about a din derabbanan, so then there is no pasuk really. Right, the question is, when a Gemara mentions a pasuk, and the din is really derabbanan, so then how does the pasuk relate? If it's a din minat Torah, so then it comes from the pasuk, or if it's a drasha, so then it's also a din minat Torah. Yigimol midrash Torah midrashes meham is also a din minat Torah. But if it's a pure derabbanan, so then what's the relationship of the pasuk? So the Gemara and the Rishonim will sometimes say that the pasuk is an asmachta. It's a real din derabbanan, and the pasuk is an asmachta. So most Rishonim understand, like the Rambam, that the pasuk does not actually mean this din at all. And the rabbis invoke the pasuk maybe as a memory tool. It's the most basic way of saying it. But others disagreed. So the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah, he got very upset about this. The Ritva says that there is really a intent of the Torah to convey this din also, just not explicitly. And to deny that is some level of heresy. And others, such as the Meshech Chachman, his comments, the Chumash, and the Maral of Prague, so they saw kind of an in-between interpretation. Like the Meshech Chachman says that Chazal picked up an instruction from the Torah to make a din based on how they interpreted between the lines of the pasuk. And the Maral says a little differently. The Maral says that what Chazal mean when they refer to a pasuk is that there is some fact of reality that they learn from that pasuk, and that the halacha they innovated because of that fact. So the Torah isn't commanding that din; the din is still the Rabbanah. but Chazal are referring to the pasuk because the pasuk still influenced them in making the din. So there are many different gradations as far as what the role of asmacht is. So I'm mentioning it here now, not just as a tangential lesson in asmachtes, but it could be relevant to this sugya, because Tosfos is not necessarily opening up the door to all these things, but just assuming that this is for sure an asmachta, that mayim achronim is not, according to anybody, a din min haTorah, but assuming it's an asmachta, what is it? So is it just a pure functional din that's there because of something dangerous, which is what it sounds like from our Gemara, which focuses on the idea of it being a safety method? Melech Sodom Mesiyeshem Mesameyes Azainayim, that there's this salt, sodomite salt, doesn't care about other people, and therefore makes people blind without getting any benefit from it. Zenenev Zelo Chaser, salt. So, therefore, to prevent that, we have to wash off our hands. Right, so you could say, if that's the idea, it's an asmacht in the most basic sense, right? The pasuk really has nothing to do with it. But here's a way just to remember. Or should we say that no, there's something more fundamental, that Chazal did this because they saw a directive in this pasuk of you should be holy before, you should continue to be holy, you should be holy at the beginning, you should be holy at the end. So therefore, we should start and end our meals with a washing that is more ritualized. And therefore, there's a din of Mayim Rishonim and of Mayim Achronim, which, that might be essentially the question. So, Dav Yomi, I'm really enjoying this synergy, that, you know, to try to do both at the same time. So, our Dav Yomi opens the door to see it that way. And essentially, this is an issue which boils down to a machlokes bizman hazeh. Right? This is very much a live machlokes at the moment. Because, as I'm sure you have witnessed with your own eyes and experienced, there are very different practices as far as whether Mayim Achronim is observed nowadays. So what is behind this? So according to our Gemara, again, it seems to be an issue of danger. We're worried about Melech Sodomus. And also Rashi on Kavav, if you did all the Gemaras in between, indicated it would be a good idea to do. And also the Ran, the Rif, the Ran and the Dape Rif, they introduced you to the Gemara in Yuma. Right, you saw that pretty wild story about the third reason, Maisa Shahaya. This is a story the Gemara tells that there's a third reason to wash Mayim Achronim. Because the Gemara has this idea that Misum Maisa Shahaya, because of an episode that happened, Hargu Nafesh, that somebody was killed because of a lack of Mayim Rishonim, Mayim Achronim. How did that happen? How did somebody get killed? So there was a whole story about some Amoraim who went to an inn. And the innkeeper was a shtickle evil, very evil actually, as emerges from the story. He was evil in a couple ways. And one of the Amoraim figured out that he was evil, and therefore he did not trust him with his valuables. But the other two, they did. So when they wanted to get their valuables back, he denied that he had them. And they needed to try to get it back from him. So they went to his wife. And they asked his wife to give it back. And his wife, they didn't know, she didn't know that he was trying to hide that. That he was trying to pretend, he was trying to deny that he had their stuff. So how did they trick the wife into confessing? So they knew what he had for dinner. How did they know what he had for dinner? Because he still had food on his mustache. Because he didn't wash his hands off after he ate. So he told the wife that, oh, your husband said to turn over our stuff, and here's the sign. He said this is what he had for dinner. So she said, oh, okay, I guess you must really know what's going on with him. So she gave the stuff, and he got really angry, and unfortunately, being the evil guy that he was, so he killed her. So because of that, somebody lost her life because of a lack of mayim achronim, and therefore we should learn the lesson, which is quite a wild story. And it's unlikely to happen again exactly like that. I was just discussing with Rabbi Tani Cohn on the way up. That's an interesting question. You find this in Shas a couple times where you have a pretty unlikely to ever be repeated story, you know, once in a lifetime kind of thing. And the Gemara says we should do this because of what happened once to prevent that ever happening again. And it's an interesting question why we would, how we would relate to that. It's not the kind of thing that, like, you hear the story and like, okay, so I'm not always going to make sure to wash my hands because just in case I ever plan on fooling somebody and stealing their stuff, and maybe I'll get caught because maybe it's going to be Sherlock Holmes or Perry Mason or whoever it is going to have some trick and have a fool my wife. And, you know, so how likely is that? So, you know, presumably this is a little bit like an asmachta also, but it's a tool to get people to pay attention that really the reason is for these other issues, but you need to motivate the tzibur to pay attention to whatever it is we want them to pay attention to. So stories have a power to them. So you also say, oh, and by the way, somebody got killed because of a lack of mayim achronim. So who knows what kind of an emotional impact that has. Stories have a power. Also, I think it has this power that sometimes people think, look, you know, I'm pretty confident in myself. I know everything. I don't think it's ever going to lead to a problem. And then you have these really wild situations which you could never imagine. So it's good just to have protocol. And who knows? In any event, so what emerges though from our Gemara is that it seems like it's a matter of safety and not necessarily about ritual. So Levi's distinction holds up pretty well, probably, that Mayim Rishonim, that's for ritual purposes. Why do we have Mayim Rishonim? Why do we wash on bread? So we wash on bread in order so we can keep in mind and we can keep in practice what the Kohanim did and will do to eat Truma. So that's a Takana D'Rabbanan for that purpose. So Mayim Achronim is more functional. So this is going to affect a number of questions. And among them, the question of whether this is something that needs to continue nowadays. So if we don't find that we have Melech Sodomus nowadays, it's an interesting question what exactly is involved in Melech Sodomus. Presumably it's more than just an attitude of what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours and Zenenev is Elochaser. Wonder what would happen if the salt would look back when it's being destroyed. What would it turn into? Sorry, it would turn into Lot's wife. Yeah, could be. So
he said it first.
Yeah, that's right. So you both turn in, right? So, so what exactly is the quality? It's also like I was talking to Rabbi Tani now. I was talking about he was looking into it, the nature of sea salt, Bismanazan, if there's any overlap, to also find out if there is a danger putting sea salt in your eyes. Wouldn't recommend it one way or another. But in any event, so see that Tosfos here has the position that nowadays it's not necessary. That nowadays we assume that we don't have this Melech Sodomus around. And everything is driven by that. So therefore, the Daf Yomi, which sounds like it's more of a drasha And again, not a drasha d'oraisa, but maybe an asmachta, you could have thought more in the Meshech Chachma Maharal sense of something that thematically connects to the pasuk, at least, of there being some kind of kedusha to it. Tosus' attitude is, no, it's not really about that. So just to finish the sentence in Tosus, V'asmachta ba'almahu da'ataymu da'mayim achronim ha'adim ha'shom melech sedomis. That all of it really comes out of the melech sedomis, k'damu v'samach. V'anu l'fi she'ein melech sedomis matzi b'neinu lo nog b'mayim achronim. And v'achanami k'dar shasun, also that's Russia, back in the Daf Yomi, ki kadosh, So therefore, they had this issue that their hands were perceived as greasy. Therefore, v'tzarech lahakdin v'litol kodem brach. Okay. So, and practically speaking, as Tosfos goes on to quote, that to the extent that it was a chova, we saw also the Mishnah in Erevin, that said that even when you're in a moment of war, and Mayim Rishonim, we could get away with letting you skip. Mayim Achronim, as a functional chov, took on a greater chiyuv. Nonetheless, Tosfos is saying, but it's all tied into the Melech Sedomis, and nowadays we don't have it, and therefore that's not the case. So Tosfos sees this whole drasha as, or this whole quasi-drasha or asmachta, as subservient to the Melech Sedomis function. Now, many don't say like this. Shulchan Aruch does quote this opinion in the very end. Right? If you saw the Shulchan Aruch, you saw the whole siman in the Shulchan Aruch. Right? So the Shulchan Aruch presents it as a chov the entire time. But just in the last sif, at the very end, so the Shulchan Aruch says, but there are those who don't have the minhag to do this. And that's because of Tosfos. Now, many of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch still maintain that we should still do it. And among them, in this case, you have agreement between the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan. And the Aruch HaShulchan essentially has the opposite of Tosfos, that the Aruch HaShulchan has it that really the Iker is the Daf Yomi, the Iker is the Drasha, and the Melech Sedomis is an added component. So the Gra understands differently than Tosfos. The Gra says we still do have Melech Sedomis. So we don't have the reason to assume that it's not there anymore. So this leads to a big divergence in practice. And that there are many who assume that we no longer have this practice based on Tosfos, and they clearly have what to rely on. And this is the view that the Rav Shechter Shlita and Rabbi Willich Shlita also maintain in practice, that nowadays we have knives and forks that we eat with, and therefore we don't have to wash Mayim Achronim anymore because our hands are clean and we don't have Melech Sedomis. And many others, understandably influenced by the Gra, the Mishnah Berurah, and the Aruch HaShulchan, hold that it is still an obligation and carry on that practice. It's interesting to also note, as many of the Asfarim felt worthy of observation, that even among the circles where it is observed still. So you often see, have you noticed this in practice, that it's usually the men who wash Mayim Achronim and the women who don't? You notice the differentiation in that? So that's harder to understand, because if you believe that it's a chiyuv, so what basis is there to distinguish? Why should women not wash my macharna? Any suggestions? Sorry? So they don't have a chiyuv, or no one has a chiyuv? So why should they not have a chiyuv? So mitzvah says she has one grama. So you're laughing, but that's what Rebbe Yaakov Emden says. So Rebbe Yaakov Emden in the Sefer Morik Tzia understands like that, which really you need Tosfos to say. But basically, if you follow a Tosfosian approach, that essentially it is all dependent on the Metzias. And also on the culture, as Tosfos basically saying that there's two aspects here. What's the reality? And the reality also dictates what we perceive as greasy and what we're able to handle. So if we don't have dirty hands, essentially, so then we don't have to wash. So there's two aspects to the Messias. One, that we have this Melech Sodomus around. And two, are our hands greasy and dirty? So if we're eating with a knife and fork, so then our hands are not so likely to be greasy and dirty. So it could be, that's what Rabbi Yaakov Emden maintains, that the women are more likely to eat neatly, are more likely to eat carefully with a knife and fork, and therefore they have not been in the habit of washing mayim achronim. And not totally separate from this, you know, there are those who maintain that maybe because of all these factors that Meikar Hadid, one is not really obligated in Mayim Achronim nowadays, but many have accepted it as a personal hanhaga, as some kind of obligation. And the women didn't accept it, which is maybe I thought Sam was getting at. So that might not be a completely different theory. It might be the same point, that if there's a correlation between how dirty your hands are and whether you feel a need to take on a practice of Mayim Achronim, so then it may all go in one line, that maybe those who tend to have dirtier hands are more likely to have accepted the practice of washing Mayim Achronim. It probably does emerge that if even if one does rely on the opinion of Tosfos, again, with much to support that, that even if one does rely on the opinion of Tosfos to not wash Mayim Achronim in general, but if your hands are greasy, if your hands are dirty from the meal, so then it does make sense to assume that you probably should wash them off beforehand, and even if you don't wash Mayim Achronim regularly, but if they are dirty, practically speaking, at that time, so then it would be a good idea to wash them off. So, but what about issues of brachos? Should there be a bracha? Is there a bracha? How does that relate to all of this? So that'll be our brief overflow for tomorrow. We'll just say a few words about that. Maybe I'll give you a few more sources to look at that address that a little bit. And then, God willing, we will move on to some of the topics that pick up after this. All right, so I wish everyone a clean and holy day, and should be only good things.